Waiver Wired is presented for the people by Caesars Sportsbook. You bet and you get with Caesars Rewards. Must be 21 or older.
It's Trade Deadline Tuesday, so buckle up, friends. This is going to be a wild one on Waiver Wired. I'm your host, Jen Piacenti, here with Eddie Murphy, as usual. As I said, we are recording this at 12:30 Pacific, so it's 3:30 Eastern time. Deadline falls in a half hour. We've already had a ton of breaking news. We're going to get to all of it, and we're probably going to get more while we're on this podcast. Eddie, I am so pumped for today. How you doing?
It's awesome. I mean, there's so much going on. And, you know, out of the four major sports, the NFL was always the one that kind of lacked in this department, which was having a great trade deadline. And we saw, you know, NBA, NHL, MLB, everyone gets moved. And you'll see some NFL trades happen maybe a couple weeks before the deadline, like one player would get moved here and there. But I don't know what really caused this trend. I mean, they always say the NFL is a copycat league. Maybe we should all thank the Rams for kind of getting rid of, like, you have to hoard as many draft picks as possible, because we see a team like the Dolphins follow their suit and start moving their picks to get players to win now, because teams realize it's very tough to win in this league. Sometimes young players don't pan out. Let's get the proven players in here. Yeah. And now we're seeing, I mean, a ton of players getting moved, offensive players, defensive players, players who are suspended, and the picks are no longer the premium. So this is a very exciting time to be a fan of the NFL.
And it's the same thing with your dynasty leagues versus, you know, your redraft leagues. You know, sometimes I tell people, like, people are so much more interested in hoarding draft picks in their dynasty leagues and they never win. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you just need to win now. Yeah. As far as, like, this deadline being exciting, it's actually kind of funny to me, because I look at, you know, my Twitter timeline is mostly fantasy football people, but also quite a few fantasy baseball people. And this year's baseball trade deadline was wacko, and it usually is, like you said. So people getting so excited about how wild this is, to me, it's not that wild. Like, in MLB, the crazier things happen. Juan Soto gets traded, right? That is massive. There are definitely some good trades going on here. I'm going to start off with saying the NFC North is making big moves. First big domino that fell this morning, of course, is TJ Hawkinson going to the Vikings. That is within the division a trade. So right then and there, already something you don't see happening a lot. Then we see Chicago go out and make some pretty big moves, which we're going to break down. And all I want to do is look at Green Bay and say, what's up, guys? Hello? You wake. What's going on?
Aaron Rodgers has been a theme in this pod, and probably every pod that covers the NFL across America. And it's a thing where, why is he playing bad? But also part of it is, why are they spending all this money on defense? Which, by the way, defense is not playing great, but apparently they're keeping their coordinator. But nothing on offense. No, he gets no help. There are a ton of young receivers, and yeah, the running back, at least Aaron Jones, has been great. This deadline has been crazy, but a lot of the names that have been floated out have all been receivers, and we've seen a lot of them get traded. The fact that the Packers, and they did not go after any of these receivers, and again, we have 30 minutes left, like you said, Jim, recording this a little bit before deadline ends, it's really a disservice to Aaron Rodgers and to the rest of the Packers offense and to the fans of the Packers, because this is still, to me, a winnable division for them. They still have enough talent to win. No one really trusts the Vikings. I think if Rodgers had help, he would be kind of back to what we saw him, maybe not MVP form. He is 39 years old, but he will still be a well above average quarterback. And it's really, I don't get what the front office is trying to prove year after year of not giving him any help, especially after you lose Devontae Adams and you had an opportunity or a golden opportunity to get guys like a Claypool, maybe a Judy or a DJ Moore, and all these other players that have been moved around, and you don't do it. And now you're going to be okay with watching the Vikings, you know, move on. And the Bears now are maybe resurging, but it's right. So bad. And I actually side with Aaron Rodgers. I know a lot of people don't like Aaron Rodgers anymore for a number of reasons. I'm siding with him here, because it has to be extremely frustrating to, like, watch two other teams in your division make moves like mm-hmm. this and you guys just stand pat, it's miserable.
Yeah. And we discussed last week that we believe that if Aaron Rodgers had the same weapons as Tom Brady, that Aaron Rodgers would be winning this division. It's really not totally. The same thing as what's going on with Tom Brady. We probably won't have time to delve into all of that today because there's so much else to talk about, but that goes on and on. Of course, Tom Brady officially back on the market, ladies, if anybody's interested in dating a giant ego. Okay, so anyway, back to the NFC North. I did hear that the Green Bay Packers, what they were looking for is basically a receiver they could get like on a rookie contract. They can have him longer, but at this point, so we're talking about, you just got to win now. Maybe you just need to go get a Brandon Cooks. I don't think DJ Moore is on the table anymore. If I'm Carolina, I'm not sure I want to get rid of DJ Moore either after that incredible fourth quarter catch. That was unbelievable. We can talk more about the slamming of the helmet and whether that was a, you know, douchebag move or whatever, but I don't care. The guy is still immensely talented and they are going to stick with PJ Walker there. So if you're desperate and you need to stream, you know, PJ Walker suddenly has an arm that everyone forgot about. And I think we talked about last week, he actually has like a 79% on target rate, which is really the best of all the Panthers quarterbacks that they've had. So, you know, maybe DJ Moore will continue to come on strong, even if he doesn't get traded. Okay, let's talk about TJ Hockenson. TJ Hockenson, the first domino to fall. I don't particularly like this really for fantasy at all. Because I don't really see who it helps. First of all, we know now that Irv Smith Jr. suffered the high ankle sprain. So definitely TJ Hockenson is going to be the starting tight end. That really wasn't a question anyway, because he's the superior player to Irv Smith Jr. He's very talented, but in Detroit, he had 39 targets, which was the second most on the team. And he actually led the team in receiving yards because, you know, Amon-Ra Brown missed some time. So he was a good fantasy weapon. And now he's just another weapon for Kirk Cousins. And he falls in line behind Justin Jefferson, Adam Thielen, probably also KJ Osborne. Now, does he have the potential to leapfrog those guys? Sure. But, you know, Irv Smith saw only 29 targets in this offense. He did run routes 63% of the time, which is more often than Hawk was running them in Detroit. But again, I just don't see this being a big ceiling. The other thing that's interesting, you know, the Vikings are not usually in negative game scripts. They often can control the game, so they can just give the ball to Dalvin Cook. One of the cool things about TJ Hockenson was because they were often playing from behind, his average yards per target was actually over 9 yards. Irv Smith's, by comparison, just about 5 yards. So again, I'm not comparing these players. They're not a direct comparison, but it just gives you an idea of how the tight end is used in the system. And now, instead of being like a top 2 target on the team, he's probably going to be more like 3 or 4 on a team that probably won't need to make as many pass attempts. It's possible this could eat a little bit into Adam Thielen. If you have Adam Thielen, that might be a little disappointing. But otherwise, you know, wheels up more for those Detroit receivers, I guess. You know, you can probably feel comfortable starting Josh Reynolds and Amon-Ra St. Brown every week. You can probably start both.
Yeah, not much more to add because you nailed every facet of that, Jen. But, you know, the Lions just fired one of the secondary coordinators, and it's just only going to get worse, I think, for them, which, like you said, with the game script, the Lions give up a ton of points, means they're going to be passing the ball. TJ Hockenson, obviously, one of their main targets, especially with some injuries to the receivers. Like, he would have gotten targets there. And going to the Vikings now, like you said, they're still fighting with Thielen. You're fighting with Jefferson. They have, Dalvin Cook behind there when healthy. So he's now just part of a mix, whereas he was basically featured in Detroit. That being said, I'm sure if we ask TJ Hockenson himself, he's quite happy to move off a team that's struggled since he was drafted four years ago, and now going to a team that has a pretty nice division lead there. So he'll be happy to be playing meaningful games, but I think for fantasy, this is not the greatest thing.
We're going to try to stay in chronological order of these trades, because I think that's the best way to organize it. So let's move on next to, again, another move within that same division, Chase Claypool going from the Steelers to the Bears. Now, this one is a little bit more interesting. I have to say, I'm not exactly sure what to do with it. So immediately you think, you know, Chase Claypool is going to Chicago. I think they can continue to use him in a bit of a hybrid role, because this is really truly a run first team, and Chase Claypool does have that ability. And I personally think he slots in as the wide receiver two behind Darnell Mooney. A lot of people think he'll be the wide receiver one. I think he's number two. He has the possibility to become wide receiver one. But the important thing is, I think it's an upgrade for Claypool from Pittsburgh simply because he should have more opportunity. But even better yet, it upgrades both Deontay Johnson and George Pickens, who every week we've been like, well, what do we do? Because Chase Claypool's still in there kind of muddying the water. But let me give you some stats. Claypool actually saw 50 targets for 311 yards with the Steelers this year. So his targets were actually second to Deontay Johnson. So he was number two as far as targeted, but he was fourth in actual yards. So that's behind Johnson, Pickett, and actually tight end Pat Freiermuth. So I think it clarifies things for the Steelers. And those Pickett's, those targets will hopefully go more towards George Pickens. Now, on the other side of this for Chicago, I think this gives Justin Fields a big boost. He's already majorly trending in the right direction. In fact, Justin Fields is a top quarterback streamer for this week and probably just to have him for the rest of the season because he's now the QB 9 on the season. We saw him put up big numbers on Sunday versus a tough Dallas defense. He threw two touchdowns. He had a 74% completion rate. He rushed for a touchdown. He has that rushing floor. And even if he doesn't win games, he's getting better and he's getting you fantasy points. So having another weapon just makes things easier for him. What it could also do, it could help Darnell Mooney now that everyone won't be double teaming Darnell Mooney, and hopefully it will improve his 58.6% catch rate. However, we need to bear in mind that the Bears have the least pass attempts in the league, tied with the Tennessee Titans. So there's still not a huge ceiling. It's possible that both Claypool and Mooney just kind of end up meh. So for those of you that have Deontay Johnson and George Pickens, awesome. Little bump for you. Probably a little bump for Claypool. Hopefully Mooney will at least be okay and maintain, you know, probably get fewer targets, but maybe have more success. And then for those of you who are hopeful for a Cole Kmet breakout year, I was one of them. Yep, we're done. The nail is in that coffin. It's over. It's not happening.
Yep. Chase Claypool was a guy that I was looking at for a while for my Giants to basically come in and replace what Kenny Galladay was supposed to do. They bet that big body receiver, he will go up and get the ball for you. So I was looking into that. So this trade kind of stung me, but I'm happy that the Bears are getting a player like this because that to me proves that, okay, we want to pass the ball now. Like you just said, Jen, awesome game for Justin Fields on Sunday. Honestly, if you ask me right now which quarterback you'd have the rest of the year, a Kenny Pickett or Justin Fields, I'm taking Justin Fields. A couple weeks ago, though, if you asked me that, I'm going, no, I'm going to take Pickett. Justin Fields not throwing the ball. He would look at his first read and take off and run. And yes, in fantasy, the running yards, rushing yards do help you, but eventually you need your quarterback to throw the ball, get some passing touchdowns, get some passing yards. I think now there, I don't know if it's the confidence in him or the offensive coordinator is working with him and they're clicking. And this is just a great move, though. And I did see some people say they think this helps Fields, but it hurts Claypool. I don't agree. I'm with you. I think this actually helps Claypool. He was just never a fit in Pittsburgh. Mike Tomlin clearly hated him. I know he had that mega year a few years back, but there's a lot of mouths to feed there.
Ego.
He does. Yes, he does.
And I could have been part of the problem. I'm not sure that that's a good fit in Pittsburgh.
I don't think he's a bad guy. He wouldn't have played at Notre Dame if he was a bad guy. I just think he's a clear candidate for needed a change of scenery. And I think now that things are trending in the right direction for the Bears, Justin Fields is an immensely talented quarterback. We've all saw that when he was playing at Ohio State. And I think now having a big body like this along with Darnell Mooney is awesome for him. And I think the Steelers just get rid of a headache, a guy they just did not need there. And, you know, their schedule's tough. I think they're trending in the wrong direction. Najee Harris is not helping them the ground game at all. So I don't really love what's going on in Pittsburgh, but I think, you know, I would not be shocked if some weeks Darnell Mooney is the number one. I would not be shocked if some weeks that Chase Claypool's the number one. They'll look to him in the red zone. I know they gave up their second round pick, not the Ravens' second round pick. So people are saying the Steelers come out like bandits in this, but if you're a Bears fan, this is a great move for you. I think it's going to immensely improve this offense. So this is really, really good.
I think it's hard to argue with it, right? Because this year, what did we see? We saw two teams that are incredibly competitive go out and get their questionable quarterbacks who were questionable passers, two big weapons. So we saw it in Miami with Tua. He's got Tyreek now along with Waddle. And then we saw it in Philadelphia when they went out and got AJ Brown to pair with Devonta Smith. And guess what? Those two guys are going bonkers and leading their team to a lot of wins. So I think they're trying to do the same thing for Justin Fields. You know, unfortunately, again, not to, you know, beat a dead horse, but they don't seem to want to do that for Aaron Rodgers, maybe because he's just too old. They're not going to get him the weapon. Sorry, guy. You're just going to have to do it on your own. Unless news breaks, we'll keep checking. Mm-hmm. We have 10 minutes left, 10 minutes for something to happen. Okay. Next big move that happened. Denver sent Bradley Chubb, by the way, for those of you commenting on my Twitter, this is not Nick Chubb. This does not mean Kareem Hunt to the moon. Thank you very much. Bradley Chubb to Miami. And then Miami sends Chase Edmonds back to Denver. So my immediate reaction was, all right, Mostert's finally got this going on. And then in a minute later, we found out that San Francisco traded Jeff Wilson Jr. to Miami. I still think it's Mostert's backfield. Jeff Wilson Jr. has made a career of backing up Mostert, actually, if you want to be honest about it. But that is a little more confusing. Chase Edmonds to Denver. Not sure I super love that either. They're just hoarding running backs in Denver and like hoping one of them's going to work out. It probably isn't good for Melvin Gordon. It probably isn't good for Latavius Murray. I don't know that it's a big bump for Chase Edmonds. So it kind of just makes everybody meh in my mind.
Meh is the perfect word. I mean, Denver is pretty gross. Like you said, 10 minutes left. Do they even trade Judy and make things even weirder there? That offense can be pretty brutal. Although Russell Wilson is putting out, you know, social media hype videos saying still believe in them and stuff. That's a messy backfield. And I think with Miami's a strange one now. Their backfield's slightly crowded. I still think it's Mostert, and I think you will get in some game scripts where they will be running. You'll get some usage out of both those running backs because I do think like they're going all in. They're going to have a pretty potent offense. I think they will be leading games by a lot. So when you're in the fourth quarter and they're up three scores, they're just going to bleed the clock and sit on the football. So I think that's a good thing because Tua and their receiving corps look awesome. So I still lean Mostert, but I think Jeff Wilson will factor in some games. But Denver, you know, it really actually depends on if they move Judy or not. Then we can kind of forecast a little bit better, but I just don't love their offense to begin with, and I think there's a lot of problems. And I've heard some stuff about Russell Wilson. He's floated some comments, and obviously former teammates still taking shots at him. Things are not well there, so I think they will be down in a lot of games and will have to throw anyway. But it's a crowded backfield and a bad offense, so this is like you said, it's meh across the board.
If you need a running back, it is very probable that Jeff Wilson Jr. was dropped in a league due to bye weeks, and you may be able to grab him this week and have him in case there is a changing of the guard in Miami or in case Mostert gets injured. He has tended to get injured each year. So of course, so has Jeff Wilson Jr. So just a thought, this is, by the way, everyone, a week with six teams on bye. So you may have to make some really ugly starts this week. We'll go over some waiver wire pickups later, but you might have to dig a little deeper. And this trade deadline might be changing things up a little bit. So just some thoughts there. Okay, next big trade. We talked about Jeff Wilson traded to Miami. So we'll see what happens there. And then this one is so incredibly interesting to me. Calvin Ridley traded to Jacksonville. Obviously, this is a move for the future. The irony of the fact that he bet against the Jacksonville Jags. Everything about this is amazing to me. We were just talking about surrounding young quarterbacks with talent. I think this is Jacksonville doing that. They're saying, look, okay, we are now going to get you not just Christian Kirk, which was great, you know, when we gave him a big contract, but everyone was kind of like, okay, but that's the best you could do. No, Calvin Ridley, he is a clear wide receiver one. So with Kirk, with Ridley, with even, Zay Jones, that's a lot of weapons. And now we've got Travis Etienne coming on strong, really dominating that backfield. Jacksonville should be a team to pay attention to next season.
Without a doubt, they'll have some great fantasy options. Even former Giant Evan Engram is making hay here and there.
That's right.
Calvin Ridley, the clear cut, you know, we talked about a lot of receivers' names being floated out. He is the clear cut to me. The best talent that was available or was moved or rumored to be moved. He is a bona fide number one. Obviously, things did not work out in Atlanta. And obviously, you know, they've had some quarterback issues anyway. They may be moving on. They went from Matt Ryan to Mariota. They did draft Desmond Ridder. Who knows there? The one constant, at least for Jacksonville, is Trevor Lawrence, despite some shaky games. I know people are kind of getting on his case now after I've said, like, why are we not talking about why Trevor Lawrence is playing this way? He's lost every game. He's thrown an interception in. So Jacksonville's front office says, we're not moving on from you, Trevor. We're going to get you more weapons, which is what front offices should be doing, Green Bay.
Right.
And they go and get a guy who is still very, very young. If they sign him to an extension and they get him there for the remainder of his, the prime of his career, and you only give up a second round pick, I'm willing to bet whoever they take in the second round is not going to be as good as Calvin Ridley is, because I think he is, you know, when healthy and playing well, the one of the best in the league. And this is an awesome move. And Christian Kirk is probably not a number one anyway, so him in the secondary role is much better, and I think he will feast. Obviously, if Ridley is next year going to draw some double coverage and stuff like that, and then having a home run hitter in Travis Etienne behind him. And we were, you know, I talked about getting James Robinson because of the value in drafts, and Travis Etienne coming off an injury and not playing, and he's fresh in this league. Clearly, Jacksonville saw something in him to really feel confident in him, that they kind of figured later this year, the second half of this year, is where an ETN is going to take off and we can move James Robinson. And they did that. And it's paid off, because it was a big week for running backs, which I'm sure we'll get to. And Travis Etienne had an awesome, awesome game. So I think this offense is explosive, and they want to do everything in their power to make sure that Trevor Lawrence is comfortable and is their quarterback for the future. So it's an awesome job by Jacksonville here.
A lot of great running back performances this Sunday. We've been waiting for that. I'm also waiting for the week that we get to say a lot of great quarterback performances this Sunday. By the way, I have to apologize.
One at a time.
I have to apologize to Brother Bry, who messaged me and said, should I start Tom Brady or Daniel Jones this week? And I was like, you know, Tom Brady's matchup is really good, but personally, I'm starting Daniel Jones. So I hope you didn't do what I did, because I did. It was a great matchup. And I still believe in Daniel Jones, for what it's worth. But I don't know how you do it. Like, it's like you're always a week behind. And when you look at matchups, they don't, you know, Tom Brady, like, anyway. So my sincere apologies.
I would have probably went with you too, just because you figured Tom Brady, like, oh, the week after a divorce, he'll play with a chip on his shoulder. But NFL. Well,
the morning after he announced it was official, so maybe finally he's got the monkey off his back. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I mean, the whole thing is just bizarre. I'm still going with the theory that she cursed him somehow, but whatever. Mm-hmm. It is what it is. Okay, more big news. They have fired Brady as the offensive coordinator in Indianapolis. Now, of course, Frank Reich is still really calling all the plays. So I still don't know that we're getting to the bottom of the problem. We keep switching. We switched quarterbacks. That didn't work. Sam Ellinger was not an improvement over Matt Ryan. I don't know that he will be. The only person that seemed to benefit was Alec Pierce, who could be available on your waiver wire because he was targeting the outside receivers more, and that's going to be a boost for Pierce and, of course, for Pittman if they can connect. And it's not good for Paris Campbell, who was a lot of people's top waiver wire picks last week. So Pierce could be in for a little bit better weeks. He played more snaps. He had a bigger average depth of target, the biggest of the season, the longest. I don't know. Longest, biggest, whatever. It was big. It was long. It was large. Anyway. Alec Pierce, you can get him on that waiver wire.
I'm going to say that the Colts, within the last, I don't know how many years, I guess maybe since they drafted Andrew Luck up until now, they have probably been the biggest disappointment in the NFL when you think about it at certain points, because there are points too where they've had arguably the best running back. They had, not anymore, but they had the best offensive line unit, I would say, with Quentin Nelson, the other guys they had there, and they had one of the best defenses, and then somehow that all goes away, and now you're flip-flopping quarterbacks every which year, and we all know, the Carson Wentz, the Phillip Rivers, and I get, obviously, Luck retiring at 29 just threw the entire franchise for a loop, and you can't really prepare for that. But I just think if they pulled the plug sooner on this whole quarterback nonsense and not trying to get these stopgap guys, they would have been a better position now, where you're not going for Matt Ryan, but then signing Nick Foles, but then not using Nick Foles, but then using Sam Ellinger, which is why it made me, I picked the Commanders in this matchup, because I just thought, a six-round quarterback who hasn't started, like, I'm going to take the other team. And it just, something is not clicking really. And Alec Pierce is a great player, and Michael Pittman, obviously, they have the receiving core. They have depth there, too. this is an offense that if you had a competent quarterback should be moving the ball at least through the air. But
and they have Jonathan Taylor,
and they have, and like I said, one of the best running backs.
Jonathan Taylor not being effective. I mean, the whole thing doesn't make any sense. It's such an incredible mess. Maybe Giselle got her hooks into them too. I don't know. I shouldn't say that. But yeah, there's something wrong with this Colts offense. And so we'll see if this is finally what fixes it. Firing their offensive coordinator. All right.
Speaking of the Colts, they just moved Nyheim Hines to the Buffalo Bills. So Bills giving up on James Cook, and now the depth.
Darn, I was so excited for James Cook season because I was thinking the matchups are getting easier. They're going to be out in front. They're going to let him cut his teeth a little bit. He looked really good. He caught a 41-yard pass on Sunday. All right. Okay, Nyheim Hines. So they are – okay, so this is interesting. Get Deion Jackson. Go get Deion Jackson right now if he's available because he is the handcuff for Jonathan Taylor. And if Nyheim Hines is out, Deion Jackson is going to be used in some way. And he was phenomenal the one game he started. So Deion Jackson, go get him right now. That's your claim. I feel like I should tweet it, but here we are. This is what it's like when you get breaking news from Jen and Eddie on the Wave of Rad podcast. Okay, you keep your eyes there. Keep your ears with me. Keep your eyes on the news. Okay, everybody. We'll be right back after this quick break.
Your first bet with Caesars Sportsbook and Casino, it's on Caesars. Up to $1,250. Download the app with promo code CAESARFULL, that's CAESARFULL, and place your first bet. If you win, congrats. If you don't, you'll get it all back as a free bet. That first bet also gives you 1,000 tier credits and 1,000 reward credits, putting you closer to the types of perks only Caesars can offer. Free stays, game tickets, experiences, and more. And because Caesars plays by the rules, here comes the lengthy responsible gaming disclaimer. 21 and older must be physically present in Arizona, Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Louisiana, Maryland, Michigan, Nevada, Jersey, New York, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Wyoming, or Washington, D.C. Sports betting is void in Georgia, Hawaii, Ohio, and Utah, and other states where prohibited. Know when to stop before you start. Gambling problem? In Illinois, Maryland, New Jersey, Virginia, West Virginia, and Pennsylvania, affiliated with Harris Philadelphia. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER. That's 1-800-426-2537. Or Maryland, visit mdgamblinghelp.org. Or West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. Colorado, D.C., Nevada, Wyoming, Kansas, affiliated with Kansas Crossing Casino, call 1-800-522-4700. Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Iowa, call 1-800-BETS-OFF. Louisiana, call 1-877-770-STOP. Licensed through Horseshoe, Boston, your city, and Harris, New Orleans. Michigan, call 1-800-270-7117. New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. Tennessee, call or text Tennessee Redline at 1-800-889-9789.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
It looks like Cooper Kupp is going to play Sunday and avoided major injury. Major sigh of relief because after we lost Ja'Marr Chase, oh wait, can I just cry for a minute here? Mm-hmm. So I, this week, was headed to Houston to see the World Series game. We'll talk about that. We probably won't have time to talk about that, but obviously the World Series is going on. I happened to see the game they won. It was awesome. I hung out with my dad, go Astros, et cetera, et cetera. But I was getting on a plane, and before I got on the plane, I got a trade offer in a league where I had Matt Ryan and Russell Wilson as my quarterbacks. And I'm like in the top three, but I was somehow scraping by, and it was a Sports Illustrated league. Right. So I was like, oh, so Mike Dempsey comes to me with a trade. He's like, I'll give you Jared Goff or T Higgins. And I was debating, should I do it? And I was like, you know what? Let's just go for it. We got to shake up this team. We cannot obviously run in a super flex league with no quarterback and Russell Wilson as your other quarterback. Right. No good. So make the trade. 30 minutes later, Ja'Marr Chase injured. I'm like, oh my God, I made the biggest mistake of my fantasy football career. What was I doing? I should have just, whatever. But then, you know, T. Higgins was fine on Sunday. This Bengals offense, it's impossible that they're broken without Ja'Marr Chase, right? I mean, that's just ridiculous. They are so deep. It makes no sense whatsoever. I feel like this is a major fail by Zach Taylor.
I thought, you know, there was obviously the two lines of thinking, and the majority of people thought kind of like how we both did, which is like Joe Burrow and what they have there. It's good enough to sustain their role, and they look really, really good. I thought, okay, the AFC North is going to go to them. I felt great about my Super Bowl pick of them making it back to the game, so I think they're going to get hot at the right time. And then it seems like it crumbled. Obviously, that game last night versus the Browns without Ja'Marr Chase. I mean, maybe it's a weird time in the NFL where, like, we were told receivers don't matter. They don't win you Super Bowls. But then now we're seeing so many receivers being moved. Maybe Ja'Marr Chase really is a special talent that does alter the entire way the defense approaches their offense. And, you know, just having guys like Boyd and Higgins and whoever else, it's not good enough for the Bengals to move the ball. But, you know, hopefully he comes back right before, you know, right when they need him. They can kind of sustain, they can keep their head above sea level and still be a playoff team here. But it did scare me to see them look the way they did, because I wonder how much this affects Burrow and even their ground game too, if they're going to be down in games and that they're going to be game scripted out of running if you have Mixon and whoever. So I guess Ja'Marr Chase really may be, the, as Dave calls it, the Jenga piece of the Bengals.
Maybe. But I think they should figure this out, because it shouldn't be that way. With the talent that they have, it makes no sense. I mean, most teams don't have that kind of depth at wide receiver. So if they're that bad without just the threat of Ja'Marr Chase, because there have been plenty of games where Ja'Marr Chase is kind of put up like almost a goose egg. That happens, right? Maybe it's because he's being double teamed. Maybe that frees up the other guys. I don't know. But it's there's no excuse. They need to fix it. They can't let one player be that big of a Jenga piece, if you will. It's ridiculous. I'm mad at them because I messed up like all my bets. The only player prop I cashed was the Chubb over. Anyway,
I'll jump in here just to throw it's news without really news. Just reports from Rappaport saying Texans are not going to trade Brandon Cooks. There were some talks, but nothing came out of it. And then the other little bit of news, again, news without really being any news. Albert Breer reporting the Panthers are sending Pat now. They're going to keep, you know, Brian Burns, DJ Moore, JC Horn, Jeremy Chin, the rest of their players that were kind of rumored. So it is 1:03 Pacific time. Technically, the trade deadline's over, but I'm pretty sure the NFL has those rules where if you call into the league and you're talking about a trade, it still could happen. But it looks like right now a lot of the bigger names that we thought may have been moved or have not seen any news, though, about if the Broncos are going to try to move Jerry Jeudy still. But it looks like we're 99.9% done here.
We probably are. As you said, mentioned, within the next half hour, we can probably still get news trickling down. Mm-hmm. We're probably done. I know that happens in MLB a lot.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't think they should trade Jerry Jeudy.
It makes no sense. He's 23 years old. I mean, they'd get a lot back for him, but why are you selling parts when you invested in a $200+ million quarterback? And it's not like Russell Wilson needs less weapons. So, I mean, selfishly, I love Jerry Jeudy on my team, but it makes no sense on Denver's side.
So what do you think Aaron Rodgers is doing right now? I think he's
meditating, trying to keep himself calm.
Or is he,
yeah, maybe an ayahuasca trip or something.
Like,
I mean, he needs
a wall,
he needs
drinking.
Again, like, this is why when people get on his case and blame him for stuff, it's like, if you are arguably the best, the most talented quarterback that we've probably ever seen, and you only have the one Super Bowl victory, and your organization just refuses to ever help you and get offensive weapons, and the one you actually had that, you know, developed into an all pro, you let him go, you know, to his hometown, to his, you know, best friend, Derek Carr, that's on the organization. That's not on Aaron Rodgers. This is not the NBA where Aaron Rodgers could, you know, cherry pick which players he wants. Like, he's LeBron James. So again, say what you want about Aaron Rodgers. If you don't agree with the stuff he says or does, that's fine. But he has every right to be frustrated here. And it's a really bad job by the Packers, who could have made a late season push to win this division.
Aaron Rodgers did enough to spoil my Bills spread pick. Even without Christian Watson, Alan Lazard losing players to suspension during the game. Like, you know, like I really hope we see something, but no, if there's no DJ Moore, there's no Brandon Cooks. I guess the only hope now is maybe they'll go sign an OBJ.
That could happen. Brandon Cooks just tweeted, this is making kind of news now, that Brandon Cooks tweeted, don't take a man's kindness for granted, covered for the lies for too long. Those days are done. Cross the line with playing with my career. And then he emoji of an arrow. So people are pointing out that he is not happy in the least about not being moved. I guess he wants to be on a contender here. Oh, and we were wrong. Another trade. The Bills are now trading. Zach Moss is going to the Colts now as part of the Nyheim Hines trade. It's a little extra piece to that deal.
Oh, that's just weird. Mm. Okay. Still pick up Deion Jackson. I don't think that Zach Moss is the solution. If he wasn't good enough in Buffalo, he's not going to be good enough to be the backup for Jonathan Taylor. I guess he can have some goal line carries. That is a weird situation. Okay. By the way, Cam Akers not going anywhere.
Another guy, right? Yep.
Speaking of Cam Akers in that backfield, Kyren Williams is someone that you could consider adding. This guy in high school actually played linebacker and wide receiver, so maybe he would be good at pass protection, catching footballs, besides being a talented running back out of Notre Dame. I know, you know, if you want to speak more to his talent, Eddie. Sure. I think that he's someone worth grabbing because you saw basically it come to no fruition that the trio of Daryl Henderson, Ronnie Rivers, Malcolm Brown basically did nothing for fantasy, did nothing for the real team. There is a possibility that maybe Williams is the guy. I mean, we don't know, but for a speculative ad, why not?
I thought that when this draft process came around and Kyren Williams was going into the draft, he was one of my favorite players in Notre Dame in recent history. I forgot which draft guy said this, but they like watch obviously all his tape and stuff. And for a smaller stature guy, he could do it all. He could block, he can catch, and he runs very hard. They describe him as a violent player, just he runs over you. His blocks, he finishes his blocks. He's great. Obviously, he's a later round pick, but he's a guy that I think could. Once he gets in the league, once he's given his opportunity, he will make the most of it. And I think he is definitely worth the ad. And obviously with this Rams, like, they didn't move Cam Akers, but I'm not sure how much that should really worry you because there's clearly an issue going on between him and Sean McVay. And, you know, I think McVay came out and said it's not the personnel, it's just like the schemes and the coaching. And he's put it in more back on himself than the players. I'm not sure if I really agree with that. So I think them putting in Kyren Williams may give them a jolt, although their offensive line obviously has taken a hit. And I think Stafford not playing super great also reason why the running game has not been so great either. But Kyren Williams, you know, he's an unheralded guy that I think will surprise some folks and will have some solid weeks if he gets a chance here.
Yeah. So there's a waiver wire ad for you too. We've already covered a lot in this episode, but we'll get to more specifics later on. So Rashad Bateman going to miss multiple weeks with a foot injury. Speaking of waiver wire ads, you could add Isaiah Likely. He was one of the tight ends that was really buzzed about in preseason. And we saw him have the biggest game of his career on Thursday night. I think it was 6 catches, 77 yards and a score. He led all Baltimore wide receivers. Now that Mark Andrews is dealing with a shoulder issue and Rashad Bateman is out, it seems likely that Isaiah may have a role in this offense. So if you're, you know, again, 6 teams on bye this week, if you're streaming a tight end this week, watch the reports. But if Mark Andrews doesn't play, I would feel comfortable even with a tough matchup. It is a very tough matchup with the Saints. But you could start Isaiah Likely. It's kind of a long shot. But I like it. I like it a lot. I like the idea that we might see more of Isaiah Likely.
Well, and we think, you know, this AFC North is such a crazy division too, that now like the Ravens are almost in the driver's seat. And I, you know, to really feel confident in that, it would be great to see Lamar spread the ball around more and do more with his arm than his legs. We know what he could do with his legs, but if he, you know, finds a way to throw to somebody not named Mark Andrews, that'd be a nice surprise. And also for fantasy terms, you'll feel a lot more confident about Lamar week in, week out. And we need as many tight ends that are good and serviceable as we can, because tight end, there's definitely a shortage of serviceable tight ends now.
So let's talk about running backs, okay? I mean, we just talked about Nyheim Hines and Jeff Wilson Jr. and Raheem Mostert and all those situations. But on Sunday, we finally had a big day from a lot of running backs, one of which was Donta Foreman, who we told you to pick up on the podcast. We told you that he was the guy to grab, and he was available on most waiver wire. So I hope you picked him up. He crushed it with three touchdowns for the Panthers, who are suddenly a winning team behind PJ Walker, with, you know, dramatic plays and a big arm and Donta Foreman leading the charge. And actually the Atlanta run defense isn't a very soft run defense, believe it or not. They're easy to pass on. But I was impressed. Donta Foreman did a lot more than I thought. Now, he did that with Chuba Hubbard not being active. Hubbard could be back this week, and I do think it will remain a committee, though certainly Foreman has earned the leading role in it. But if Hubbard is available, you could certainly feel comfortable picking up, because clearly the Panthers are going to stick with this run game. It's working. Now, as we know, this possibility came about because Christian McCaffrey went to San Francisco. Now, can we talk about how, like, let's just stop. They're winning the NFC. You can't. If you have a guy that can play quarterback, running back, wide receiver, as long as he stays healthy, who needs Jimmy Garoppolo? You don't need anybody else, because, oh, and by the way, Deebo Samuel could probably do that too, and he wasn't even healthy this go-round.
That's actually a great point. They do have like two guys who could do that on their same team. And when I saw that stat, like, oh, first player to do like the trifecta since 2005, I was like, that's been done before, and also like that recently. Yeah. Like I was shocked by that. Yeah, and we're talking about guys who are happy to get moved and go into a better scenario. I'm sure Christian McCaffrey's very happy. And yes, the NFC having them, you know, have a stud running back and a team that always could run the ball. Their defense playing well. They own the Rams and that division. Just like they seem to dominate teams within the NFC West. So I mean, if we do see the Eagles or the Cowboys drop off, I'm not buying into the Vikings, and the NFC South is a total mess. So the 49ers right now should feel pretty good about themselves.
Yeah, they should feel pretty darn good about themselves. I mean, there's no longer debate for who should have gone number one overall in fantasy drafts. Mm-hmm. I mean, there was a lot of trash talk about people taking Christian McCaffrey early. People were off that. And, you know, we always said, now if Christian McCaffrey's healthy, he's the best guy. But I still didn't even imagine this. I mean, this is truly extraordinary. And as we know now, Jeff Wilson has been moved. I'm wondering now if Elijah Mitchell's going to come back and back up hopefully soon. And then Jermichael Hasty is there. You know, it's a deep stable. Mm-hmm. So even if something happens to Christian McCaffrey, the Niners team looks in a good position.
And you know what, for that trade to happen for us fantasy players, it was such a great thing, because you had the 49ers, who we never really trusted a running back. And then when he was playing on the Panthers, we never had a guy like Donta Foreman, who had 118 yards in back-to-back weeks. So now you have a guy who's startable, and then you have McCaffrey, so you could trust him in San Francisco. So he just spawned a whole new, you know, running back we could start now. And, you know, I just don't see how it'll be a committee, like you said, with Chuba Hubbard. But Donta Foreman, I mean, rushing 26 times, he could be a bell cow for you. Three touchdowns, like I said, 180 yards back-to-back weeks. Like, you have your guy. Like, that's the guy right there. So this trade ended up being great for fantasy players.
Both people. Yeah. Yes, all around, because it was clear. Because what we hate is muddy backfields, and it's been so much muddy backfield situation. Even if Donta Foreman does split with Chuba Hubbard, I think that we can see that there's enough volume there, even if he splits it the way they're running it, to get a really good performance out of Foreman and possibly even Hubbard.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he had half the amount of carries the week prior, still got the buck 18. So I think he could do it. They found themselves a nice gem there. The trade may have worked out for them for a team that's kind of in a rebuilding phase, but is now somehow winning games with PJ Walker. So again, this is just the NFL this year. It's a wacky year.
So other running backs that had a big day. We expected this from Derrick Henry. I had him in my DFS lineups. I won because I had him with Hurts and Waddle. No, Hurts and – oh, no, I had him with Tua and Waddle. That's right. Anyway, it was great. And we expected that because the Texas run defense is just done, right? I mean, they're surrendering 160 rushing yards per game on average now to opposing running backs. So, by the way, smash the Miles Sanders prop for this Thursday Night Football. It's only 76.5. And Miles Sanders is now playing 60% of the snaps and averages 80 yards a game. So he should be able to do that versus the Texans. So no big surprise there with Derrick Henry. He's obviously fully healthy. This is now four games in the row that he's gashed the Texans for 200 or more yards. Tony Pollard. This is the big talk. Is Tony Pollard was always the better back than Zeke? He had a great game, but it was also an extraordinarily easy matchup versus the Bears. And we knew that going into it, which was why he was such a value on DFS slates. I love Tony Pollard. I hope they use him as much as possible, but I don't like the idea of everyone saying he's so much better than Zeke, because I guess as a Cowboys fan, one of the things that Tony Pollard is lacking in is blocking ability, and you have to protect Dak. It's obvious, so obviously so important to have Dak back. Look at the difference in our offense. I was actually getting excited on Sunday, even though our defense wasn't as sharp. I was like, oh my God, that's right. This is what it's like when we have good Dak. Now we look like a competitive team.
It's very true. Good Dak is back, and I do think the Cowboys are a serious contender for a Super Bowl. But in terms of fantasy here, and you know, I want to see your reaction to this. Tony Pollard's great. I feel like Zeke just still never gets the credit he deserves. I know Jerry Jones said he's going to be the running back one when he comes back, and fans are mad about that. And other fantasy you know, analysts are saying like this is such a bad move. Like, Tony Pollard is good because of Zeke, because Zeke is
exactly
every down back who does the little things. He's taking the hits. I don't think, and Sal actually brought this up on EP, and I totally agree with him, is that Tony Pollard cannot carry the ball 20, 25 times a game. He's not that type of guy.
Can't.
You need Zeke. You have to be, everyone should be appreciative of Zeke for taking all those hits because he could do it all. Like, he's a special player. Tony Pollard, fantastic. But you need the Zeke there to make Tony Pollard effective.
100% agree with that. That is absolutely the truth. And people that watch the Dallas Cowboys game should know that. But I understand people get greedy, even Cowboys fans, and they just want to see all the points. But Tony Pollard doesn't have that opportunity to break off those big runs if Zeke isn't out there doing the dirty work half the time. So listen, Pollard is a flex start every week for me at this point, because at any point with how good the Dallas run game is, he can go off, and I'd rather flex him than say like AJ Dillon or Josh Palmer, you know? So like, he's a flex start for me. And that's just how it is, but stop saying that he needs to replace Zeke. I want to put an end to that. Just stop. Travis Etienne, huge day. We talked about that. Alvin Kamara. Okay. Ben, if you're listening, I think the best thing that ever happened to Alvin Kamara was Andy Dalton.
He's finally scoring. I mean, he's having a couple of good weeks in a row. Really great weeks.
He needs those check downs. Because they'll, instead of trusting Jameis Winston's big arm to make these big plays, which basically eliminates Alvin Kamara from the scheme, instead they let Alvin Kamara sort of function like the Christian McCaffrey this week, right? He was like the guy that just led the offense. They're doing it with Nick Chubb in Cleveland successfully. They should continue to do it in New Orleans.
I 100%. It's like, I understand that everyone's saying, oh, it's a passing league and whatever, and you have James and you want to, all the receivers are injured. Michael Thomas is out, you know, consecutive weeks, and you have Chris Olave had the concussion. What are we going to do? It's like, well, you have Alvin Kamara, who is one of the league's best running backs, one of the league's best offensive weapons. It doesn't make any sense why, when all those injuries started to pile up, they didn't go, okay, well, the offense is going to run through you now, not let Jameis chuck the ball in the field, because that's not a winning formula. And I think the sooner they realize that and they could funnel it through him, then, like you said, then it becomes a better, more complete team, better offense, because Kamara is a special player who now is finally scoring the touchdowns. And maybe it did take Andy Dalton, the savvy vet, to kind of realize that. And if you have great players, make use of them. And it's, you know, what's funny too, also, I'll admit, I did trade Kamara in a league right before this big game. I ended up winning in that league anyway, thanks to Dante Foreman, we just talked about. But I did get a first round pick next year too for that, so it worked out. But seeing him put up that game, I'm like, I probably could have used that for the playoff run.
Yeah. Well, assuming they stick with Andy Dalton, I honestly think it changes if they go back to Jameis at any point.
I would agree.
If Dalton stinks it up and they go back to Jameis, I think Kamara is probably out again. And remember, there's still no Michael Thomas right now. There's still no Jarvis Landry. Once those players come back, it might change as well. So, you know, not, but Kamara is paying off his draft day value now. And I appreciate it. I like Alvin Kamara as a player. So I hope that he continues to dominate, though I don't have any shares, unfortunately. All right. I think those are the major, major news stories. But the other major news story, of course, is that there are six teams on bye this week. So I want to kind of quickly run down some players that you might be able to get to plug into your lineups. We talked about Justin Fields. He's a great, great player to have this week and just moving forward in general. And he's available in 60% of leagues. So definitely check him out. Taylor Heinicke. Okay. Taylor Heinicke has revived Terry McLaurin's career. Thank you, Taylor Heinicke. And you know who else he's revived a little bit? Antonio Gibson.
Yeah.
And Antonio Gibson's been dropped a few places too.
Yep.
So I feel comfortable streaming him. You know, Heinicke has a good matchup this week versus the Raiders. You saw how good Andy Dalton looked versus the Raiders. Heinicke could have a good week like that too. So I like him as a streamer. Andy Dalton, again, as we talked about, he's someone you could stream. He's got Baltimore. And we know how soft Baltimore's secondary is. So you can definitely stream Dalton. Running backs, we talked about Chuba Hubbard. We talked about Kyren Williams. James Cook, I don't know now, sadly. Maybe it's not James Cook time because Nyheim Hines is in Buffalo. Kenyon Drake is a possibility. If Gus Edwards stays injured, then you're definitely going to start Kenyon Drake. Khalil Herbert, by the way, if he's not rostered, should be someone you should have rostered because he's slowly taking over that job from David Montgomery.
Yeah, I mean, I think also with Chicago, the quicker they involve Claypool in the offense, and if they keep this passing attack up, it's going to make the running game a lot easier because defense is not going to be honing in on stopping the run. Like I said before, I thought this is despite giving them the second round pick, I think it's a great trade for the future of this offense in Chicago because, again, this is similar to the Jacksonville thing that we were talking about. Like, they're not going to give up on a guy like Justin Fields who they traded up for in the first round. They're going to do everything they can to build around him, and getting Claypool in will then in turn make the running game, I think, a lot better because now teams are afraid of Justin Fields throwing the ball, actually, which is something he was not doing early in the year. So I'm totally with you on that, Jen.
I like it. Jaylen Warren and Isaiah Pacheco are also running backs you could stash even if you don't start.
Jaylen Warren is, I mean, Najee Harris is ineffective as could be. Five straight weeks with less than 13 PPR points. I'm an idiot because I have him in quite a few leagues. And he's a guy that I thought, I just first round running back Alabama.
Everybody had him, Eddie. It's not just you. We thought he was going to have the volume.
It made sense.
I only have him in one dynasty league, but
I thought quarterback weirdness with Mitch and Kenny. Were they going to go to him? A lot of dump offs. Like, I just thought, they had to funnel the offense through him. It just never worked out. And he is getting turned on very quick by the Pittsburgh media. And they're saying this guy does not look like a first round pick. If he was a late round pick or a free agent signing, like, he would not be starting right now. They have to basically start him because of where they took him, but he's just not effective. And I mean, I'm not sure how many I haven't looked at their schedule and see how many matchups would be deemed easier for him, but he's a guy that I'm like looking for any reason not to start.
Moving to wide receiver, Rondale Moore is clearly the wide receiver now behind DeAndre Hopkins in Arizona. It's not a great matchup this week, but this week he caught 7 passes, 92 yards, a touchdown. He also rushed for another 12. I think we talked about how we liked him even in the preseason. He's doing kind of what we expected. And a lot of it has to do with the fact that there's just volume. He's run 169 routes over the past 4 weeks. That's tied for 5th in the NFL. And here's the thing. Arizona keeps finding itself in these negative game scripts. You know, they've had the second most passing attempts on the year, 329 of them. So, Cardinals continuing to disappoint, but maybe Rondale Moore is at least someone that you can grab from the waiver wire.
Yep, with you on that. You got to get, especially with James Conner being out too, and they throw the ball a ton. They're always down in games. And, despite the jokes about Kyler Murray and the Call of Duty and that they're not winning football games, he is performing. He is throwing the ball. So, any receiver, I think.
Rondale Moore performing great for fantasy. Yeah. I mean, like, fantasy wise, he's phenomenal. Mm-hmm. So, always fire up Kyler Murray. Garrett Wilson, again, it's kind of sketchy there with Zach Wilson under center, but he is the number one guy there. It's clear it's not Elijah Moore, and Corey Davis is still banged up. Alec Pierce, we talked about. Darius Slayton, okay? I mean, he's actually the leading receiver for the New York Giants, made a couple of great catches on Sunday. We wanted to be Wandale Robinson, but maybe it's Darius Slayton. He's available in like 95% of fantasy leagues. What do you think about Slayton? He's your
Well, I mean, the Giants stood pat the deadline, so that definitely the number one right there that boosts Slayton. I think, you know, the last game I wouldn't be, you know, he could have performed better. The Giants lost two offensive drives because of fumbled punt returns. Like, that was basically the whole swing of the game. And then another one where they lost about 40 yards of field position that they would have been closer to getting a potential touchdown to Slayton there in the red zone. So special teams cost the Giants some drives and some points there. But I think if they didn't go out and get a Judy or someone like we're talking about, and then Slayton is the guy that Daniel Jones feels the most comfortable with. And the Seahawks game was a tough game on the road. The Giants have historically not been great there. And I think, you know, going forward, having the Texans, having the Lions with a brutal defense, and they have the bye too, which is huge. Get some players healthy. They missed Evan Neal. They're missing some interior linemen, a lot of injuries, a lot of banged up guys. Even Saquon is dealing with a shoulder thing. Matt Breida was in there a ton. So I think all the schedule, the bye week, getting out of Seattle, that'll all help Slayton, and obviously not adding another big name receiver there. So it's basically just him and Wandale. But Slayton is the guy that's going to be lined up more on the outside. He will run the deeper routes, and we've seen throughout Daniel Jones' career, he's the guy that he had the connection with. So it's good that Slayton's back in this mix, because I don't really see Kenny Galladay coming back anytime soon, and you know, obviously Kadarius Toney is no longer with the team, so it's definitely Slayton's time to shine.
Terrace Marshall Jr., if you're in a really, really deep league, is now the wide receiver too in Carolina. It's fairly obvious. He had caught four of his nine targets for 87 yards. Again, it's not super thrilling, but we're talking about bye weeks and we're talking about deep leagues. So others you can maybe try this week, DeMarcus Robinson with Rashad Bateman out in Baltimore, Nico Collins, if he's back, Van Jefferson, who's now off the IR, in case Cooper Kupp is limited, especially Romeo Dubs, who probably has the top job in Green Bay for the moment after making some great catches for Rodgers that should last for a week or two, Allen Robinson and Joshua Palmer. Okay, everybody, we'll be right back after this quick break.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Now it's time for story time. So I was in Houston this weekend, as you know, for the Astros game. Mm-hmm. And Sunday morning, I had to get up and do my radio show on Sirius and do my Twitter spaces and get everybody ready for their lineup. So I'm sorry, by the way, that I was slow to respond to a lot of questions this week, but I was spending a lot of time with my family, including losing to my dad at tennis, which is frustrating.
Ouch.
68. But anyway, so on Sunday, he's like, all right, well, I've got the Cowboys game on. Now, I grew up in Dallas, so we grew up always watching the Cowboys. But when my dad and my family moved to Houston when I went to college, and my dad started, you know, watching the Texans more and kind of getting behind the Texans and whatever. So we're watching the Cowboys game together. Of course, also like the coolest play, right? Micah Parsons getting leapfrogged by Justin Fields, who, though we've talked about Justin Fields getting better and better, he's still got a little bit of football IQ to learn, right?
Yeah.
Micah Parsons has no problem with football IQ, gets the ball down to the end zone, first NFL touchdown. So much fun to watch. Dak was fun to watch. The whole thing was watch. Then later, my dad's watching the Texans game. This whole organization is such a mess. And he's just like, this is awful. I can't stand watching them anymore. And I said, Dad, how about you root for the Cowboys? And he finally said, you're right. I'm going back to the Cowboys. So I converted him. We've got another Cowboys fan here, back to where he should be. He always was to begin with. I don't know why he ever left. My point is, with this Brandon Cooks tweet, mm-hmm. That organization put a fork in them. They are so disgusting. They're so gross. They're just every bit as bad as the Cleveland Browns who traded for Deshaun Watson. Yeah. And now we've got this matchup on Thursday, Philadelphia at Houston. Philadelphia is favored by 13.5. Yep. It may not even be enough. It's probably not enough.
Yep. I thought that there were some points early in this year that I thought, maybe the Texans are – it could be a fun story. They could win some games they shouldn't have won, and then now it seems like they're going the other direction. Keeping Cooks is a weird move because he's a receiver that you could have gotten a nice return for and could have went somewhere else to make an impact because he's not going to do
you're
that
so
here.
Dumb.
I did say before, too, about the Colts being a team that's a lot of disappointment. You could say that about the Texans as well, too, having, you know, Deshaun Watson early in his career, having J.J. Watt, having some big-name guys that never really got it done deep in the playoffs. So I don't, as much as I dislike the Cowboys, I don't blame your dad for going back to his original roots, because I think that is definitely the way to go, because this Texans team may struggle for a few years to come. Obviously they're going to be in the market for a young quarterback, but they have Damian Pierce, who's a nice player, but there's a lot of change to be made for that team.
Yeah. Damian Pierce is a great player. And I don't even mind Davis Mills. He's doing the best that he can, he's whatever, but it is what it is. All right. Finally, tight ends. Greg Dulcich. The time that Denver looked the best this week was when Russ Wilson was leading a third quarter drive and just, peppering Dulcich with targets. And that's what worked. So I imagine they're not going to change that. He's run a route on 73.3% of his opportunities, and he's only blocked 7% of the time. He's pretty available. Evan Engram finally got into the end zone this week. Eddie, we've been talking about it. We knew it had to happen.
Yeah, we've been waiting for that since 2017, right, when he got drafted, whenever that was. So he's finally in the end zone. He's he's hanging on to it. So good for him and down in Jacksonville.
He's run the fifth most routes in the league among tight ends, 195 of them. He's playing 77.6% of the snaps for Jacksonville. He gives you a solid floor, and he's available in about 60% of leagues. And then we already talked about Isaiah Likely. Others you could stream, Will Disley, Tyler Conklin, et cetera, et cetera. But that ends the waiver wire list for today. I think we might have one or two questions that came in, Eddie. Should we grab them?
Yeah, we have a few questions here. We'll start up with Billy Hayes is asking in, how interested are you in picking up Damier Byrd?
Atlanta just doesn't throw a lot. So I'm not that excited about it. And they're more of a running team, including their quarterback. However, it's bye weeks, and you could do a lot worse than Damier Byrd. I mean, long-term, I don't think it's a lot, but certainly for this week, he could be streamable. Who are they playing? Oh, yeah, the Chargers. Yeah.
And why not? And then we have a question from Tony Baker, a longer multiple-part question here, but he basically, is it time to put the panic button on Jonathan Taylor and get a trade for him? He was his first-round pick, really underperforming. Obviously, we just talked about that. Do I stick or make the trade? His other running backs are Nick Chubb, who's on a bye, Kenneth Walker, and Damian Harris.
Well, you're probably fine with Chubb and Walker. If someone gets injured, Damian Harris is okay. It depends on what you can get for JT. I would still want a lot. I wouldn't do it for less than a wide receiver one, to be honest, because at any moment he could turn back on, and running back is such a thin position. You might want to go grab Deion Jackson that we talked about, though. Mm-hmm. Just to be sure, because if you have JT and Deion, you're probably fine, and you can probably stand pat unless you need a wide receiver or quarterback at this point. If you can trade for an elite quarterback, of which I don't know how many there are. 5?
Maybe. Yeah.
It's wicked. Yeah. It's so weird. This has been a bizarre year. All right, guys. I think that just about does it for today. I hope that was helpful with all the things that were going down as we were recording. I want to give a shout out to Matt Bluth, who got 11 right on the prop quiz. I again forgot to play. I've got to remember that. Eddie, you and I only went 6 and 8 on our picks this week. I was really frustrated this week. I didn't like picking them either. To be honest, as I was doing it, I didn't feel super comfortable with them. And then they kind of turned out the way that I thought they would. But we'll get back on track this week.
Yeah. I mean, last week across the board, everyone at EP did really well. And I thought, okay, maybe the NFL is making more sense, proceeding the board a lot
better. Stabilizing. Yeah.
And then it goes right back to this. I mean, 6 and 8 is not miserable, but it's not great. So I'm having a really, really tough time. And I found the funniest thing from our whole network was that nobody, not a single person took the Saints in that Saints Raiders match. We all picked the Raiders, and that really blew up on our face. That was a brutal game. So, again, I know I've said it week in, week out, and it's an excuse, but the NFL is very, very wacky. So I don't know what else to say.
It is very wacky, and so is fantasy this year, for what it's worth. But I'm still doing it. I'm still hanging in there, kind of tops of my league. I'm not like first in any league, but I'm still hanging in there for the playoffs. So there is a way to kind of scratch through this. We're going to try to help you always scratch through this. If you want to play with us, you can play at extrapoints.com/arcade. You can actually put your picks in for the chance to win $100 if you get the most right. And as it's plain to see, it's pretty easy to beat us. Yeah. So you should do it.
Yeah.
Also, I just have to say, finally, the World Series was awesome. I ate ice cream for dinner, which was awesome. At Hershey syrup, Heath bar, the whole thing. I got this really cheesy photo with my dad that was like a roundabout thing. We screamed our heads off. We never lost the lead in that game. There was a guy sitting next to me that was like Vince Vaughn. He was so big. He kept like getting in my space, and then he kept being like, come on, let's go. And he just sounded exactly like Vince Vaughn the whole time. And so finally I had to have my dad like trade plays with me, because my dad's a big guy, and like muscle him out of the way, because he kept like practically elbowing me in the eye when I was sitting down, which was very rare because we were standing for most of the game. But it was a great game. And of course, tonight, Lance McCullers Jr.'s goals for the Astros, and Suarez is getting the start for the Phillies. Now, this is a major advantage for them, because if it hadn't rained yesterday, they would have had to go to a bullpen game when their bullpen is thin, starting with Noah Syndergaard. Instead, they're going to get to start with the lefty, who can probably limit Kyle Tucker and Yordan Alvarez. He did in relief on Friday night. So they won't have to stress their bullpen as much. So I think that if you like the Phillies, I can't believe I'm saying this, but if you like the Phillies, they're plus money at home. It's a good night to bet on them, because Lance McCullers Jr. can lose control very easily. The thing I like most, though, is the over on the run total of 8, because games average 9 runs per game in the regular season at that stadium, and 10 in the postseason.
Yeah, I was going to say, Jen, well, number one, I'm glad you had a great time with the fam seeing the Astros win. The next thing I was going to say was, how much does that the rain delay frustrate you? And then I guess the last part is, like, now Verlander 0-6. Is there – I don't know how everyone's feeling as an Astros fan. Is there a feeling like that record means nothing, and like
as an Astros fan, we're like, we're fine with Verlander. He can get us to the World Series. And then after that, we want Christian Javier. Like, I don't even know why they're not even talking about pitching Christian Javier right now, but we want Christian Javier. We have all this depth, or I'm fine, you know, start Justin Verlander. But the second he gets shaky, don't trust him anymore, because maybe he's just jinxed. I don't know. Yeah. I still wouldn't say don't start Justin Verlander in game 6 or 7 when we get there, but like pushing him up in a start now that we have this extra day, which is what they're talking about, instead of going to like Christian Javier. The good news is we'll get Fromber back for sure. Assuming it goes that far, which it should. Mm-hmm. And that's good, because clearly he was able to shut them down. But yeah, it did swing momentum. And not to mention the fact they have home field advantage now, right? Because they stole one in Houston. Good for them.
Yep.
A great extra innings game for them, and they played it better. We made too many mistakes. So anyway, again, not a baseball pod, but I had to get my baseball in at the end, because I've only got one more week of it. All right, guys, thanks for joining us for Waiver Wire. We'll be back next week, the regular time. Hope you enjoyed your trade deadline. Go make your waiver claims. Remember, if you have any questions, you can always tweet at Jen Piacenti, at That Eddie Murphy, at Extra Points Pod, at Omaha Productions.
Omaha Prod, I think, at Omaha Prod.
At Omaha Prod. We'll get your questions. We'll get them answered. In the meantime, have a great week. Enjoy the baseball and the football. We'll be right back.